Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Now today on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, I'd love to speak to you guys about and have a chat, even though you won't really be talking to me back in, like we're in a life group sort of setting, but just your thoughts, I know, will be talking back at me. Your thoughts will be talking back to the Word, having a conversation with the Word, having a discussion around life and death. Life and death. How good is life? In life, there's challenges, isn't there? There's challenges. Jesus said, you will have trials and tribulation, but do not fret, for I have overcome. There will be troubles, and there are troubles in life, but life is good. It is from God. It is a gift. Every day is a gift. Such a gift. That was my wife. It's all good. And then when you think about death, you know, I grew up scared of death. I grew up in Africa where when there's a funeral, people are mourning, they're wailing, and I was just taught, kids, you don't want to be there. You don't get in there. I was scared of seeing a dead body. And it's natural to be scared of that, but it's also such a natural thing to die. But God's taken me on a journey, a story for another day, that I've had to see dead bodies and realize it is just part of life. We're all born, and at some point we'll all die, unless Jesus comes before then. So life and death. Steve, what's going on, mate? Are we at a funeral today? We're celebrating Easter, Resurrection Sunday. Life and death are such a reality, and Jesus is so powerful, our Savior, that not only does He have power to forgive sin, but He actually overcame death. He's over life and death. He is the source of life. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 2 to 4, it says these words. This is the Old Testament. It says, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. It's saying it's better to go to a funeral than to be partying. For this is the end of all mankind, and the living will lay it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by sadness of face the heart is made glad. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. The house of mirth is a house of pleasure. So this is saying when we go to funerals, it's good for us. Because funerals actually bring a healthy and sober perspective on what life is all about. So that we don't take life for granted. So that we make every day count. Life and death. Jesus had many I am statements. I am the vine. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the light of the world. There's seven of those statements, and one of those statements comes from John 11, 25 to 26, and we're going to look at that today. If you have your Bibles, open up to this or look to the screen. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Today we celebrate what Jesus has done. Death is not the end, because He is risen. He took our place on the cross. Jesus took your place. He took my place. He took everyone's place. But it's everyone's decision to say yes to that or no to that. But he actually paid the debt for our sin. He took our place. The Bible says, for the wages of sin, the consequence of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. So Jesus took the penalty for our sin. But we still die, don't we? We still die. But that's not a punishment. If you said yes to him, death is not a punishment for your sin. It's a consequence of being in a fallen world. There's a lot of things that are not complete yet until Jesus comes. So for all of us, our time will come. Unless Jesus comes before then, that will actually have a physical death. And we want to talk a bit more about that. But what Jesus is talking about here in this situation where he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He's at a funeral situation. You guys know the story about Lazarus? There's a story about my brother Laz. He's a brother to all of us. Lazarus, he was a friend of Jesus. And he had two sisters. What were their names? Mary and Martha. Well, this side knows what's going on. Not this side. This side, I know they know, but they're being quiet. What were their names? Mary and Martha. So these were Jesus' friends. Jesus gets word that in this town, Bethany, where his friends are, that Lazarus is sick. He's really sick. The disciples are like, Lazarus is sick, but we don't want to go there because there's dramas that are going to happen on our way there because of the things Jesus has been doing. People don't like him. But Jesus says, guys, do not worry, because this disease that Lazarus has is not to lead to death, but it is to lead to my Father God being glorified and the Son glorifying the Father. So he says it's not going to lead to death. So he keeps going on about his business. And then a few days later, he actually says, guys, let's go to where Lazarus is. Jesus knew at that point that Lazarus had died. Some were saying, oh, maybe he said he's fallen asleep. They thought he was asleep, but Jesus says, no, he's actually died. But let's go. Jesus goes to this place, and Martha meets him, tells him what's happened. You should have been here. What's going on? And that's when Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though they die, yet they shall live. He says, everyone who lives and believes shall never die. Jesus, what are you talking about? You're saying they're not going to die. Now you're saying if everyone lives and believes, they shall never die, but they're going to die. What's Jesus talking about? You know what happens after that? Jesus ends up taking everyone in the town to the tomb. By the tomb, there's a stone covering the tomb of Lazarus. He's been dead 4 days. And he says, come out! We're saying today, come alive in the name of Jesus. That whole thing, dead man, come out of that grave. That's why Jesus said, come out, Lazarus. People are like, is this guy for real? What happens? They take the stone away. Lazarus comes out. He's got things, strips all over his body. He comes to life because Jesus is the resurrection. He comes back to life. If you think about that situation, it was actually pointing to what was going to happen to Jesus when he was going to be killed, when he was going to die, and he was going to rise again 3 days later. He was actually trying to show Martha and Mary what was coming. When he says, I am the resurrection and the life, Martha's thinking he's talking about the final resurrection. At the end of days. Because back in the Old Testament, Daniel talks about the final resurrection, when people would rise again that had died and be there to be judged by the Lord. So they'd known there's a resurrection coming. But Jesus wasn't just talking about that. He was talking about his resurrection. He had been telling people, he had been telling his disciples that I'm going to be killed. I'm going to die, but 3 days later, I'm going to rise again. So he shows them through Lazarus, throughout Jesus' life, in that 3 years that he lives and he walks and he teaches, he talks about his resurrection. He teaches about resurrection. He actually tells his disciples, go, heal the sick, raise the dead. He himself raises the dead. He raises Lazarus. Who else does he bring back to life? The young boy who was a son of the widow at Nain. The guy's in a coffin. He's going to be buried. And Jesus raises him back to life. He raises Jairus' daughter, 12-year-old, back to life. Jesus is the resurrection. And he himself rose from the dead. He told his disciples that he would rise from the dead. The Pharisees heard that Jesus claimed that he would rise from the dead. He told Martha and Mary and Lazarus that he is the resurrection. But yet when Jesus dies and he's buried in the tomb, people are still doubting that he's going to rise again. People are still questioning whether he's going to rise. People are actually not holding, his very own friends are fretting, hiding because Jesus is dead. They're hiding away in fear, not holding on to the words that Jesus is going to rise again. Let's go to the Easter story. Come with me to Matthew chapter 27. We're going to read Matthew 27, 62. See, that in all the Gospels, there's these accounts of Jesus' crucifixion and his death. We're going to look at this one in Matthew 27. So this is the next day, it says. On Friday, we celebrated Good Friday. Allison preached a great word. Catch it on the podcast if you can. We heard about Jesus' death and his burial. But now it says in Matthew 27, the next day, that is after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember how that impostor said while he was still alive, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he has risen from the dead. And the last fraud will be worse than the first." They were calling him a deceiver. They were saying Jesus is a deceiver. And what he's going to do is actually get his disciples. The disciples are just going to get his body, hide it somewhere else, and tell everyone that he's risen. Pilate, who was in charge, says to these guys, the chief priests and Pharisees, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it as secure as you can." He says, "Go, here's a guard. Go make that tomb as secure as you can." So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. Next one. We're going to go to 28. What happens next? 28, 1 to 6. "Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it." And he's showing off. He just rolls it and then he just sits on that thing. Verse 3, "His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come see the place where he lay.'" Verse 7, "Then go quickly." So the angel's telling them, he's risen. Look at where he was. He's not there anymore. The soldiers that were protecting the place, they've seen an angel. They've experienced God's presence and they've hit the ground like dead people. And now the angel says to these ladies, "Now go quickly and tell Jesus' disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So what happens? They depart quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. And they run to tell the disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Verse 11, while they were there, while they were going, behold, some of the guard. Now, remember those guards, the guys that had hit the ground? They finally get up and they go to tell the chief priest what had taken place. They're like, dude's not there. Angel opened the thing up. What do we do? Must be true. So they go tell them. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers. They bribed the soldiers. And they say, this is what you got to tell the people. Tell the people, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So they get money. They're told, don't say anything. We're going to keep you safe. So they take the money as they were directed, and we're told that this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. People around the world, there's people that actually believe that Jesus did not rise from the dead. They actually believe that his disciples stole his body. Life and death. Jesus is the resurrection. Even his own followers were doubting. His disciples actually didn't believe that Jesus had risen to life until they finally saw him. When he finally appears to them, they believe. Some of them wanted to actually see the holes in his hands. They finally believe, but Jesus continues to give them second chance. What does he do? He loves them. He gives them a second chance and he commissions them. He breathes his spirit upon them and he tells them, guys, stay here in Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Holy Spirit that's going to come and clothe you with power from on high so that you can go and spread the truth, spread my message. So he commissions them. He gives them resurrection power, but he says there is more coming, not just for you, but for the rest of the world. And when he rises, when he actually ascends days later to be with the Father, they wait in an upper room for 10 days praying, waiting for this gift. The gift of the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost, fills the room. They're all filled with the Spirit. And from that day, come back to church, not just next week, but Pentecost Sunday in May, you hear more. But from that day, Pentecost Sunday, the church started because those disciples received his resurrection power. And then when the Holy Spirit came, the resurrection power was made available for them and for anyone who'd say yes to him. And the gospel has been getting spread ever since then. And the church continues to be a force that cannot be reckoned with because Jesus is the resurrection. He says, I am the resurrection and I am the life. He says, do you believe this? He says that to Martha. Do you believe this? And you know the difference between one who will never die and one who will die is belief. That was the difference. Because Jesus says, whoever believes in me, even though they die, they shall live. Yet they shall live. Then it says, everyone who lives. Come on, we all live. Anyone not living here? Wait, oh, you're breathing. Everyone out there is living, but that's not enough. He says, everyone who lives and believes shall never die. What is he talking about? It's not just a belief of, I know he's God. I know he's doing things. I know he's nice. I know I need him. It's a belief that actually influences your actions, your decisions, the way you think, the way you breathe, what you eat. It's just everything. It actually then is the driver of your life. He lives in you when you believe in him and you let him in. So that is the difference that he's talking about. It is the belief. He says, Jesus says, I am the life. I am the resurrection. Like I said before, death is a consequence of the fallen world. Sin came into this world with Adam and Eve, and ever since then, we've all been separated from God because of sin. Sin is any thought, word, or deed that does not match up to his character. He is holy. And the punishment for sin was death. But Jesus came and took the punishment so that for believers, if you said yes to him, when you die, you actually will not be separated from God. What am I talking about? Salvation is a gift. When you say yes to Jesus, when we're born, we all have a vacuum in us that nothing else can fill. We all have a space for God, but actually our spirits are dead because of sin in our lives. But when you say yes to him, you're actually reborn. You're born again. Your spirit comes to life. There's a regeneration. You let God come in. You confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You become alive in Christ. You die to sin. We were dead in sin. But when you say yes to him, you now become alive in Christ because he paid for your sin. But you actually have to say yes. So you become alive in Christ. You start to live in him. You start to live with him daily. Your relationship with him. So then when a Christian dies, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 8 that we are absent from the body and present with the Lord. When someone who's walking in relationship with God, who said yes to him, dies physically, they're absent from the body and present with God. That's what Jesus is saying about never dying. He's not saying we're not going to die physically, but he's saying when you've given your life to him here on earth because you believe, when your day comes where you die and you stop breathing, your soul, your spirit are now with the Lord. Straight away. Straight away. That's what happens to believers. We're with the Lord. And then a time will come when Jesus is going to come back to judge the living and the dead. At that time, he will judge the living and the dead. But if you're a Christian, you have assurance that you're going to spend eternity with Jesus, with the Lord. But he's going to judge the living and the dead. And after that, a time will come where there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. We can talk more about this in different forums, but I just want to remind you, we have hope as Christians that when we die physically, we continue to be with the Lord. Does that make sense? So we don't have to fear death because death is not the end. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? This is what we're singing about. Belief in Jesus raises one's dead spirit. We go from being dead in sin to being alive in Jesus. When you say yes to him, you start living a new life like we saw through the guys that got baptized. When you say yes to him, he breathes life into parts of you, into all of you, the parts that you say yes to. He wants to breathe life into every part of you, but you've got to say yes. You've got to give that to him. He wants every part of you, your heart, your mind, your desires, to be living according to his will and his life. When you think about this, look at Jesus on the cross. Who was next to him on the cross? There was two people. See, the crucifixion, the cross, worst way to ever die. Painful. He's there with two criminals. This was a death for criminals. He wasn't a criminal. He's there with his two guys. One of the guys is like, man, if you're the savior, you say you do all this thing, you save people, you heal people. How come you're not saving yourself? So he's just having a go at Jesus. The other guy says, Jesus, when you enter your kingdom, can you remember me? This was a criminal. But in this moment, he believes Jesus. The Bible tells us that Jesus said to him these words. Jesus says these words to him in Luke 23. Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. So Jesus knows he's going to die. But because he's believed, Jesus says, because you believe, today you're going to be with me in paradise. Absent from the body and present with the Lord. And this is the way it breaks our hearts. But guess what? It breaks Jesus' heart way more. That we think about those that do not know God. Those that have not been saved. Those that have not said yes to him yet. Because those that do not believe, when they come to the point of death, they're actually physical death, where already their spirits are dead in sin. When they come to the point of death, that's total separation from God forever. That's not easy to say, but it's the truth. There's no second chance after death. But God is so patient that he actually gives everyone an opportunity to say yes to them. There's no opportunity for a second chance, but I tell you what, God uses people like you and me and people out there to spread the gospel so people would know the truth. Because it's the truth that sets us free. So we can be like, that sounds messed up. How can he be a God who loves if he's going to let people go to hell? No, he's made a way. So we need to tell people about the way. I am the truth and the life. There is no other way to the Father except through me, Jesus says. He is big enough. He is God enough to make sure that people will get an opportunity. He is just enough. But the thing is, we're people. We've all said no to him. And some of us in here, we're still saying no to him. So it's up to the individual. But the Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, so that whoever would believe in him would not perish. We're talking about death. That's perishing death. He says, if you believe, then you're not going to perish, but you will have eternal life. And that eternal life starts from the moment you say yes to him. And when you die physically as a Christian, nothing can stop you from being in relationship with God, because the Bible tells us in Romans that neither death nor life, angels or demons, can separate us from the love of God. So he loves us so much, but hell is real. Heaven is real. And that's why there's such an urgency to the gospel. That is why it's good to go to a funeral and remember his love, that his creator, that he's in charge, but it's all out of love. So unbelievers actually pass into a state of eternal punishment immediately. That is sad. But God has made a way. That's sad in our minds, but God has made a way. Upon death, their bodies will be raised on the final day of judgment and will stand before God's throne for final judgment. Steve, this is heavy, bro. This is full on. Guess what? Jesus is full on. Oh, that church is so full on. Those Christians. How much love did Jesus show us? Was he full on in his love? Was God full on in his love? He did not leave anything behind. He gave us more than 100%. So what am I talking about? It's in the Word. Let's go to Matthew. Come with me to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25 talks about this. It's not going to be on the screen. If you don't have your Bible, just listen. 25, 31 to 46. In my Bible, it says the sheep and the goats. In other Bible, it talks about the final judgment. Holy Spirit, you are here. Speak to each one of us. You are love. You are forgiving. You are kind. You are patient. So it says in verse 31, when the Son of Man, this is all Jesus' words, not my words. When the Son of Man, talking about himself, comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick in prison and did not help you? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. See, this is not about works. This is not about what you can do or what I can do or what we have done. Because end of the day, none of us can be good all the time. Only he is good. People will say, oh, I do good things, always lead to the Father. No, Jesus tells us he's the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible says all have sinned. I sin. I'm a sinner. But when God comes into your life and gives you his spirit, he starts to strengthen you. He starts to encourage you. He starts to say, don't do that. I'll strengthen you. Don't do that. But it's all by grace. Grace is a gift. It means you're getting something you do not deserve. There's nothing you can do to deserve his approval, to deserve his love. There's nothing I can do for him to love me more or less. The people that don't know him, God still loves them. And he's knocking on the doors of their hearts. It's all by grace. We're not saved by our works, by our deeds, but by faith and grace alone. But the time is limited, guys. Today is the day of salvation. See, everyone's got their individual responsibility. My responsibility as just the man I am and the boy I grew up as just and the old man I'm going to be, it's to say yes to him. It's no one else's responsibility. I have to say yes or no to him. You have the same responsibility. Someone who doesn't believe has the same responsibility. But then as we come to know him, we have an opportunity to tell others about him, about his resurrection power. We can worry so much about, but what's going to happen when they die? But how can God do that? Look at his word. He's made a way. We need to let people know the way. But only the Holy Spirit can actually open people's hearts. You can't open their hearts. Life and death. Jesus overcame sin and death so that we can have life now. So Jesus overcame sin. He overcame death. It wasn't just a ticket to heaven. It's not about getting on the bus to heaven. It's actually when you say yes to him, he gives you life in that moment. Eternal life starts in that moment. And you start to live with him and in him, abide in him, and he abides in you. John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. John 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus says, but I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. So death sounds that way. But Jesus is like, I've come to give you life. And so just like Martha, Jesus said to her, do you believe this? He asks all of us again today, do you believe this? That I am the way, that I am the truth, that I am the life, I am the resurrection and the life. Death is inevitable. You know, Jesus does heal. He's able to heal. He heals sicknesses. He even heals people that don't believe in him. That's how powerful he is. But even you think of Lazarus, he still ended up dying when his time came. When Jesus heals in this time, he's just giving us a foretaste of heaven, a foretaste of his kingdom in fullness, that there will be no dying, that there will be no sickness. But whilst we're here breathing today, we need to make a decision. But I want to talk to the Christians in the room right now. It's just not a ticket to heaven, but it's to have life in him and life to the full. Jesus is our hope and strength. We have hope. See, when people die, as Christians, our family, our friends, the Bible tells us that we don't grieve like the world grieves because we have hope. We still feel the loss. We still cry. We still mourn. Blessed are those who mourn, for they'll be comforted. But yet we have hope and joy that we're going to see them again. We actually worship God for their lives. So we have hope and we have strength. And this is not just for Christians. This is for everyone to take on. But as Christians, we're to be living sacrifices. So even though we're not going to die spiritually, we actually die every day to ourselves. The Bible says, deny yourself. If you want to follow me, deny yourself. We're to die to self every day. There's things, we still have the flesh as part of us, sinful nature as part of us. So we need to feed the spirit and we need to say no to the things of the flesh. Things in our desires, things in our hearts, things in our minds. There's things for all of us that need to die. Because none of us are perfect. We'll only be perfect when we look at him face to face. When he says, come. That's when that happens. But until then, we're dying to self every day. Being living sacrifices. This is part of having life now. Are you guys with me today or what? Yes. I know this is heavy. But it's Easter. It's what it's all about. So I want to ask you guys, what does it look like to live that life that is full of Jesus, where you're dying daily? Do you know some of what it looks like? It looks like listening to him. It looks like going to his word, because his word is life. Opening this thing up every day. Man shall not live on bread alone. This is life. It looks like praying, talking to him. He is life. Apart from him, we can do nothing. It looks like depending on him, hearing from him, doing life with others. But there's something we want to do over the next few weeks that is part of what Jesus showed us. Fasting. See, fasting is saying no to, man, today's full on. I can hear it. Man, he's just gone straight to fasting. But this is where we are at as a church. In a few weeks, on the 19th of April, we're going to do a week's fast. We're going to teach about it on Wednesday in our life group huddle. You're going to hear more about that. We're going to teach into praying and fasting. But what fasting does, you're saying no to food so you can feast on God, feast on his presence. That's dying to yourself and focusing on him. You still drink water. Don't have to fast the whole 7 days, but ask the Lord. Talk to doctors, what's healthy, what's safe. But that's what we're going to be doing. This is part of dying to self and living with Jesus. Jesus did it. And that's how we move in the strength that he died to give us. After Jesus had fasted for 40 days, he started moving in the power of the Spirit. So we pray, we fast, we listen to him. We love others. We love others as we love ourselves. Jesus overcame sin and death so that we can have life now. So just like he said to his disciples, go, therefore, and make disciples. He's saying to us, go, therefore, and spread my resurrection power. Spread my gospel, which brings resurrection power, which is the Holy Spirit. Did you notice the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead? The Holy Spirit is the source of life.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.